Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. I have to wear a lot of makeup for my day job, but when I'm off camera, I'm all about ease and simplicity. Thrive Cosmetics has a full line of makeup to refresh your everyday look. One of my go-tos is their Brilliant Eye Brightener. It's ridiculously easy to put on, and it gives my eyes the little perfect pop in seconds. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/off-camera. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/off-camera for 10% off your first order. Okay, podcasters, in honor of Valentine's Day, I bring you two loves of my life, my kids, Michael and Lola Consuelos. In this off-the-wall interview, I say, not since Frost Nixon has there been a piece of literary import such as this. This will be written about in the annals of podcast history. Jan gave my children the power to ask me anything they want. And so I there in turn took Jan's son out to dinner in Michigan and grilled him.
We'll
Jessica,
get to that
I'm
later.
Just kidding. And I secretly recorded it and I'll be dropping it in this episode. I still don't remember consenting to you giving my kids, carte blanche to ask whatever, but they did. So enjoy this. And it's a reminder to tell people that you love them. And happy Valentine's Day, everyone. And I love you.
Hi, guys. It's Let's Talk Off Podcast. Wait, what is it? Let's Talk Off Camera. Stop. Hey, we are back with another episode. Let's Talk Off Camera. So let's get talking, bitches.
So far, we're off with a bang. Somebody going to cue me or do I cue myself?
Cue yourself.
Okay. Frost, I am your Nixon.
Oh, I'm not wearing headphones?
No, okay. Because we're all in the same room.
Do you want headphones just to get
Do you want to feel the vibe?
I just want to feel them.
Feel the vibe. Yeah, it sounds amazing.
Wow.
Wow.
Whoa. Whoa.
Okay. Hey, everyone. We're back with another episode of Let's Talk Off Camera. So woo-hoo! Let's get talking. Today, we have our most requested guest, besides Madonna. Yes, that's right. My daughter, Lola Consuelos, will be joining us. And in a cruel plot twist, Lola will be interviewing me. This should be scintillating. We've given Lola and potentially her brothers, Michael and Joaquin, depending on whether or not they show up, free range to ask anything. And she's been promised a safe space where she can't get into trouble for anything she asks. I'm not sure who gave her that, but apparently somebody, Jan.
You're reading it as you're
She really negotiated. Should have read my bylines before we started.
Oh, there's a ding dong on the door.
Ding dong
ding
ditch.
Dong. Michael Consuelos just entered the building as
Michael
well.
Michael Consuelos.
Primo. Guys, I just want you to know that somehow, Jan Chalet has okayed it for you to ask me whatever you want. I have no idea what the questions are. Mm-hmm. I was not given a preview. I was not pre-interviewed. I thought I was going to interview you two because that was a very...
When your next guest doesn't come on, then you can bring us back for that one.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. Let's get to it. She's a recent NYU graduate. She's the daughter of a legendary acting couple and talk show hosting couple, I might point out. She's a singer, songwriter, and music producer. And she's still on my bankroll. Please welcome my daughter, Lola Consuelos. Woo! He is also an NYU grad. He is an actor, producer, writer. He is our firstborn son. He is the heir to the throne. And he is off the family teat.
Ah.
We are very proud of you for that.
You.
Congratulations, working producer, working actor, working writer. Mm-hmm. My firstborn, Michael Consuelos.
Thank you.
Okay, so are you guys drunk with power, knowing that you get to ask all the questions?
Yes, and I just wanted to keep this organized and civil. I think that what we should do is go maybe one at a time asking the questions.
I got a question.
No, because that's the thing is I'm starting off with the question.
But I thought I'd start.
No, but I'm going to start.
Lola?
Let's get this show on the road. I wanted to ask you, Mom.
Yes?
You are a young, gorgeous, glowing woman. And I wanted to know, how often do you get your period?
Oh, we have started off with a bang. Well, what year are we in? It's a post-pandemic year. It's the year 2023. I would say 3 years ago. 3 years ago, yeah.
Okay.
It was, it was a careening cavalcade of events. Menopause meets pandemic. It was very exciting.
Yes.
You knew very little about it, you three.
We knew all about it.
Wait, how did you know about it?
Temperament.
You were just what I would like to call...
menopausal.
Itchy.
Well, explain to me what that means. What does itchy mean and what does menopausal mean?
It means I would never want to call you bitchy, so I will say you were itchy.
Oh, really? Was you think I was like...
Mom.
No, I'm asking you. Give me signs of my bitchiness.
You ever seen Jaws?
Yes.
Well, replace the shark with you, and then that's how...
Is that what I was like?
A little bit.
Really?
Explain to me.
I'm kidding.
You were it was like... drop of a hat, all hell would break loose. The shirt, the sweater would come off. The sweating would start to happen.
Uh-huh. And that's bitchy?
Albert's nodding his head.
It's not bitchy.
It's
called hot.
Yeah, it's called hot. I mean...
All right. Have you ever broken the law?
Have I ever broken the law?
Yeah.
No.
Not even once?
No.
A little bit?
I think you know that I am an absolute rule follower. I fill out my tax returns on time. Although I will say my early years in the city, I filed for an extension like every year for like 4 years because I just could not get my S together. But no, I show up for jury duty. I'm like a very observant citizen of the law. I don't break the law.
Have you? You may have not broken the law. Okay, so you haven't done that.
Yeah.
Is
that disappointing to you? You seem sad. Have you ever broken the law?
Honey, this is not you asking me the question.
I know, but I'm just curious. Have you ever broken the law?
Never.
Never?
Never. Okay, so you haven't broken the law. This one, I feel like if you say no, is just an absolute lie at this point. But have you ever cheated on a test in high school, assignments?
I helped someone else cheat.
I helped.
There was somebody that needed help cheating. But you have to understand that it was sort of like almost expected. Like the teacher would give me 2 Scantron sheets so that I could help this person cheat.
That's nice.
Is it? I don't know. I don't know if the person learned anything.
But you never did like a little glance over at the person's sheet next to you?
No, I wasn't a smart one, but there were certain subjects I was good in. Mm-hmm. And definitely probably like chemistry, we would work in groups of 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so like chemistry illiterate I found my chemistry teacher completely unengaging, and he always sounded like he had milk in his throat.
Oh, I know
you
always
so I would yes. always like he would speak, and I would start going. I would start trying to psychically clear his throat, and then I would just check out. So I relied heavily on the other people in my pod
to help you
all of the work.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So it's not, I mean, would I cheat on a test? No, but would I let them do all of the work? Yes.
Uh-huh. Love that very for good. You. Okay, my question. So? I want to know your real response to this and how you'd handle this.
Okay.
You and Dad are sitting in the kitchen.
Yes.
And I bring home a boy.
Yes.
And he is 50 years old.
Yes.
Genuinely, what is your response? I say, mom and dad, you're going to meet someone. I bring him over. He is 2 years your junior.
I would maintain a level of neutrality, and I would be very welcoming publicly in front of you. And then I would probably question everything about the way I raised you as a parent. Here's the thing. You're 21 years old. You'll be 22 by the time this airs, right? I would encourage you to imagine yourself 20 years from then, you know, like,
of course,
when you're 30 and he's 70, and isn't right. that fun?
And then I'm 40 and he's 80.
Isn't that fun? You know, I would just like, I would try to encourage you to think big picture, long term, without judgment. Like, what brought that up in your mind? Tell me.
I was just wondering, because I remember you saying that you brought, when you were 20, you brought home, how old was he, 28?
27.
27?
Wow.
And you said your parents were totally okay with it, which you'd probably...
He didn't read like 27. He read like a 17-year-old. I think my parents assumed that he was like 17. He seemed right. like a child. I seemed like the much older person.
In the relationship.
And so I think that's why my parents were fine with it. They didn't even ask me about his age. They assumed he was my age.
I see. Okay.
You know, but it's like now I'm like, oh my God, I dated someone 7 years older. Which is nothing. It's nothing, but it seemed so much older at the time.
Exactly.
Do you remember when you told us you waited?
No, I never said that.
You sure did. Several times.
Yes. Yeah. Wait, this cannot go. Wait, wait, guys.
No, you're not changing the narrative here.
I did not.
Yes, wait, this is the funniest thing.
I did not.
No, she actually, you know, she
I
told,
said, I
she,
wish I waited.
Oh, wait, never mind.
I wish I waited.
That was the funniest thing. This cannot go in there.
Don't say, I remember when you told me I waited. I, first of all, would never discuss that with you specifically, Michael.
Why me?
This was a mother-daughter discussion.
This cannot go in
front of everyone
Lucy
else.
Lips,
right, sorry.
Lucy Lips. Lola Consuelos over there must have related that to you.
The Consuelos women have no indoor voice. I heard everything.
No.
Well, maybe you shouldn't lurk behind our door if it's closed.
Nothing was funnier.
I'm like Littlefinger in Game of Thrones. I like knowing everything that's going
on.
When
you're 15 years old and you are having someone over to hang out that you are potentially dating, and the doorbell rings, and mom, in a scene of a movie, grabs your hand.
Yeah, very gently, like
grabs your hand as you're going to get this said person from the door, and she goes, "Lola, wait."
Oscar moment.
Wait, and I wish I did. And I was like, "We're literally hanging out, so chill."
I know, but you guys have like hangout can mean anything now.
That's true.
When I say I'm your dad and I hooked up, they're like, "Ooh, you hooked up?"
No,
and I'm like,
"Hooked up is like made out, that type of stuff." And then like when you slept with someone, that is, you had sex with them.
No. But you guys used to tell me that hooked up meant having sex.
I don't know about
and
you.
Partying
guys.
Meant cocaine. All of these things that I was like, partying used to mean you're going to a party and you're dancing and you're having fun. You're partying. And then you're like, no, that means you're on cocaine. Like
no
you
one,
guys were
no
telling,
one ever said that.
Yes, you both told me that.
I'm gonna fight you on that. I don't even know where to get drugs. I read like a narc. So me and my roommate are like, No, me and my roommate we look like 21 Jump Street.
You pride yourself on the fact that you are with a European / Latino man.
Mm-hmm.
And you always talk about you saw him and you knew that he was going to be the one that you would end up with. And now 28 years later, 27, you are married to my father.
Yeah.
I've seen one previous ex-boyfriend of yours.
Uh-huh.
And I won't say that him and dad looked similar, but there was a specific, the tan skin, the brown hair. Did you have a type before you met dad? And I have a follow-up question, which is, what were your biggest turnoffs or red flags when dating? But I first want to know the type one, and then we can get into the red flags.
I didn't really have a type. The boyfriend I believe you're referring to, that was either a tanning bed tan or a spray tan. That is not his natural skin color. It could have been a full face of makeup, if I'm being quite honest. But Dad, as you know, is Latino. And if you were to see my ex-boyfriend and Dad next to each other, you would not see any similarity. So there's that.
But my question is...
Yes.
As I said, before you met Dad,
yeah.
Did you have a type?
No, not really.
I don't believe that for a second.
Not really. I was like...
Did you ever date a blonde boy?
Yeah, I did.
Really?
Yeah. But what was funny was the one thing I didn't like about him was that he had blonde hair and blue eyes.
There we go.
Yeah.
How dare you?
I felt like I was looking at myself.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, that is weird. That makes sense. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I was like, ugh, you know. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just didn't
like. Because you are a blondie with blue eyes.
Yeah, I'm a blondie with blue eyes. So I was like, who wants to look at themselves all day? You know what I mean?
And what were your biggest turnoffs or red flags when dating?
Gosh, I really despised rudeness. Mm-hmm. I once was dating a guy who screamed at a cab driver.
The worst.
And I asked the driver to pull over and I got out and I was like, don't ever call me again. I remember like guys who were like sloppy and messy and bad drunks. That was like a no fly zone.
No
fly zone.
Yeah, that's not fun.
Yeah, not fun. What about you?
The rudeness is weird to me. I think...
May I mention your boyfriend? Is that a no?
You don't have to say his name.
I'm not going to mention his name, but I like your boyfriend and the fact that he's a great conversationalist.
Yes.
And that he is fabulous to hang out with. And I always like that about your dad. Your dad was like a great conversationalist and you could drop him anywhere. You could drop him into any conversation in the middle of any group of people and he would blend right in.
You could literally say, talk to this brick wall and you would come back and they will be a brick wall.
Correct. That's right.
Yes. I love that. I think that's...
I love that too.
I think that is probably my biggest turn off is someone who isn't able to do that.
Yes. What about you, Michael? What's your turn on, turn off?
Okay. So here's a Michael, you know, it's bad, but it's true. I can't fake interest. I'm bad. If I'm bored, you'll know I'm bored. but you know, like, yeah. So typically someone that can hold a conversation with me is nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
And
you have to be funny.
But Michael, your girlfriend is the most charming and she is lovely and funny and beautiful and kind.
Thank you.
And really like a great member of the family.
Thank you very much. Aww. All right, we're going to move on. What was your first real reaction when you knew you were pregnant?
Well, your dad and I suspected that I was pregnant at the same time because I started just like not feeling well. Mm. And I'm not like Jan over here. Jan didn't look pregnant until she was 9 3/4 months pregnant. Like
wow.
Jan started looking actually visibly pregnant the day before she delivered. I looked pregnant almost from inception. Like something happens to me where I just look very pregnant immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And we sort of suspected that I might be pregnant, so we did it together. We took the pregnancy test together.
You know, I gotta say, I've been here for two of your pregnancies. Well, technically three, but I was conscious for two of them.
Yeah, oh, you were? And you remember when Lola was on the inside?
I really do. Wow. And I remember cussing at her through the stomach saying, you're going to regret it. You're going to regret coming
you
here.
You did that. So
I'm top
untrue.
Dog. I'm, nah, I'm kidding. I wanted a brother.
Well, it was like an hour ago you said that.
Yeah, that's true. No, I look, I was part of the team. You know, there was you two kids and there was me and I was slightly younger than the two of you, but like, I felt like it was part, I was part of the,
you were not part
you were
of the
kind
team.
Of my
the
kid too.
That's yeah. not true.
Yeah.
That is.
Michael says that I was his kid too.
I know. No matter how many times I will break out the home videos if I have to show pictures of you
mm-hmm.
when
I
your sister was born.
The Oscar gig was for me.
Exactly.
Yes. For those of you at home, Lola made a reference to an old family movie.
It's a famous family video.
Yeah, yeah. Lola just came home and. Basically, they gave me a cake to...
From the baby, right? Yeah. That's what you said.
When we brought Lola home, we didn't want Michael to feel like suddenly like he was not mm-hmm. getting the same amount of attention. So Lola came in with a cake with Oscar the Grouch on it. And I said, oh, your sister brought you a cake.
And I wasn't fooled.
And the reason this video is so iconic is because in the background, you know this video well, Albert.
Very well.
In the background, my father-in-law is tinkering on the roof, and suddenly you see him just jump off the roof.
Like Batman.
So what's interesting is like this tableau of this family, a new mother with her brand new baby, her 4-year-old who is crying because I'm like, isn't your sister? Because you were telling me.
Telling you about my day.
You were telling me about your day, and I was just sort of like, looking at your sister, and I said, isn't she cute? And Michael said, I thought you said the Oscar cake was for me. What's funny is that it feels like yesterday that you guys were those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm looking at my two adult children. But
it's heartbreaking.
Still, I shave twice a day.
No, but I know you do. You do. You have that strong Consuelos gene there. But when I look at you guys, I still see the little one. Like,
that's
I still
weird.
See the little
that's
babies.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
If I ever committed a crime.
What
these
a segue.
Questions. Well, let me tell you something. My job as a talk show host is pretty safe. That's all I'm going to say.
The safest.
If I committed a serious crime, would you turn me in or help me cover it up? Genuinely.
Can I answer that?
No, Michael, mom is answering. Genuinely.
What is the crime?
A serious crime.
Well, give me an example of a serious crime.
Murder.
I would turn you in. I would. You can't murder someone.
Wait, so you,
who did you murder?
You would turn me in?
Who did you murder?
You would turn me in?
I would encourage you to turn yourself in.
Okay, and what if I said, well, I do not encourage myself to do that?
I would still encourage you because if you murdered someone, that is the child of someone, right?
Right.
I'm assuming that you killed someone who has parents.
Oh.
Like, wait, who did you kill?
Would it be better if she killed an orphan?
No. What I'm saying is, like, who did she kill? I need the circumstances. Were you attacked and it was self-defense? Like, I need the circumstances.
Okay, let's do, all right. See, okay, and maybe another one. I have just shoplifted $5 billion worth of clothing.
Where are you? Are you in Saudi Arabia? Are you at the Gucci
but
in
are you turning me in?
Abu Dhabi?
My first question is, how did you do that?
Are you turning me in? Or
100% I'm turning you in.
I agree, Lola. That's outrageous.
And by the way, do you know how much $5 billion
is? Yeah, no, how would she do that?
That's like at least a set of luggage and three belts.
What is the funniest thing that ever happened with your parenting with me when I was little?
Oh, easy one. I mean, there's so many. You kept it chic. But
thank you.
I'll give you a really easy one that involves both of you.
Okay, cool.
We were in Australia visiting Dad, and I was giving you both a bath at the same time. And Lola was sitting, and I was holding her, and I was rinsing her hair. And then you stood up with a bucket of water to rinse yourself. You stood up. And your little penis was like right at Lola eye length. And Lola went to grab your penis. And I grabbed her hand. And you go, Lola, don't touch my penis. It's bad enough you already broke yours off. I thought that was pretty major.
That is pretty.
Did
I
you
was
laugh?
Like, we need that put on a shirt. That was pretty major.
Were you laughing?
We laughed for hours. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Michael just said the funniest.
Michael just said the funniest
thing. I love
the
story when you're at the mall and he didn't get what he wanted.
Oh, yeah. When you told, that was actually at Disney.
I thought it was Hawaii.
No, it was Disney and you wanted a crocodile. We did that tree thing.
The Rainforest Cafe?
You climb through the tree. It's like Swiss Family Robinson Adventure or whatever. Do you know? It's like connected to the Jungle Cruise and it drops you off. Thank you, Disney. In the middle of a gift shop and Michael sees this giant plastic alligator. And he's like, Mom, please. And I said, no, the trip is the present. We don't get presents on top of.
And you were and you were right. And you were right.
And I had been working with Michael, like what to do if a stranger he doesn't know ever tries to kidnap him.
I'm still scared to this day.
I had been watching all of these like Oprah specials on like how to protect your family and reading Gavin DeBecker books. And I was like trying to explain to him like, you know, kidnappers sometimes can look like moms. They can look like dads. They can look like, you know, they don't look like monsters. Like, we teach our kids that, like, strangers are, like, they look like monsters somehow. And, like, that's not the way it is. And so I was very adamant to teach you that anybody can be a stranger you don't know. And if a stranger you don't know tries to take you, then you have to yell at the top of your lungs, this person is not my mother, this person is not my father, this person is taking me.
I still yell that in my sleep sometimes.
Well, when I didn't buy Michael the alligator and I grabbed his hand and I said, let's go, he threw himself on the ground and said, this person is taking me. This person is not my mother. This person, help me. This person is taking me.
I, for the record, I have no recollection of that. But.
You were 3 years
but
old.
But I apologize.
You were 3. In fairness, you were 3. But it was a weird flex. But the good news is I quickly looked around at everyone and I said, do you think I would take this kid? Of all the kids? I would take the one screaming.
Okay, just so everyone knows, let them know that it was a relatively smooth ride after that. Parenting me.
No, you've been a dream. You've been a dream.
I learned. I got
you
better.
Got a course correct in real time.
Yep, that's
otherwise,
right.
You know.
Do you think that you parented us the same?
You know, I
I'm already laughing.
I know what I'm buying my mom friends for Mother's Day. Fiori joggers. Jan is obsessed. My stylist Audrey is obsessed. So I know they're a sure hit. And if any one of my family or friends are listening to this podcast, hint, hint, these would be a great gift for me. They're designed with their dream knit stretch fabric, which I love because they're so ridiculously comfortable, but yet look so good. By the way, they're not just for women. I'm ordering them right now for Mark because Father's Day is right around the corner. No matter how you stay active, running, swimming, yoga, or just running weekend errands, Vuori is for you. Vuori is offering Let's Talk Off Camera with Kelly Ripa listeners 20% off your first purchase. Get some of the most comfy and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/off-camera. That's Vuori.com/off-camera. You'll also enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Go to Vuori.com/off-camera and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. Malojo, my production company, is such a small business, so when we hire someone, it makes a huge impact. And Albert, I know you wear so many hats over there, you might not have the time or the resources to hire, but LinkedIn changes all of that. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. So, Albert, the next time we're hiring, if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get qualified candidates within 24 hours. We got Roz, so we know it works. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/off-camera. That's linkedin.com/off-camera to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Are you tired of scrubbing your bathroom clean? I am. Transform your bathroom cleaning with Wet and Forget Weekly Shower Cleaner. Just spray today and rinse tomorrow for a no-scrub clean. With over 33,000 five-star reviews, it's your once-a-week solution to keeping your tub and shower surfaces sparkling clean. Available at Amazon, Lowe's, Menards, Home Depot, and Ace Hardware. Join thousands who have switched to an easier clean. Get Wet and Forget Weekly Shower Cleaner today and make your bathroom sparkle with zero scrubbing.
Do you think that you parented us the same?
You know, I Michael got the worst of it because Michael was like the first child. And I feel like my biggest failure as a parent is that we were definitely like so alarmist with our first kid and we were like way stricter with Michael than we were with you, and certainly with your brother, who basically
Joaquin was free,
like,
free bird,
like true third child. Like, he was, you know, raised sort of by you, sometimes by you,
mostly
and
by me.
You know, and Dad and I were present, but we were very
not concerned.
Yeah, we were not concerned because we had been through everything already, so nothing concerned us. And so that's my biggest regret, is that I think that Michael definitely, there was like a learning curve with our parenting. And I think in general, we were hard on all three of you kids. I wish we had the institutional knowledge that we have now. I would definitely have given you a lot more freedom.
Yes,
to, I would have given you more freedom.
Yeah.
Because I think it makes... not that you're not resilient, because you're all very resilient and you're all very practical people. You're empathetic people. You are hardworking. You're caring. None of you rest on your laurels. None of you are sitting around like looking for a handout. None of you are like waiting for us to die to inherit something. Like, you've got your own stuff cooking.
We are waiting, but we're also
no,
doing
if
something.
You guys go down, I am coming right with you.
Yes, that's the way we had planned it. In the, well,
more for
but,
me.
But I was, that's my biggest regret, is that we didn't give you like a little bit more freedom, because I think my fear was that, you know, you were born at a time where, and Jan can corroborate this, certainly Albert can, Seth a little bit because he's newer than the other two, but the tabloid press was really hard on me, really, really hard on me. And therefore, they were hard on you guys, too. And they had no qualms about invading your privacy or your space or taking pictures of you, even when we were on vacation or in the park or in an airport. And you guys did not get to act up. I was very cognizant of the fact that if you acted up in any way, it would be blared on about in the tabloids as though there was something wrong, something either nefarious in us as parents or nefarious in you as children. And I did not want that for you or for us. And so I became hyper vigilant in making sure that we were like very mindful of our P's and Q's.
Of course.
Certainly in public.
In public.
Yeah, but it was more of a protective thing than...
You were also really good with, like, photographers. The two of you would talk to them. I'm with my family. Like, you were both...
Yeah, like, we always let, like, photographers were not the issue. It was what would happen after those pictures. The negative take that was always...
Right.
Certainly, you know, in the New York City tabloids, and you and me and we and Dad, we were, like, relentlessly pursued, and it was a different time than it is now.
Right.
Were you cognizant of any of that, or not really? You were too young to notice.
Of what? Of which? The
like,
paparazzi?
Were you aware of paparazzi?
Yes.
You were aware of it?
I was very aware of it, and I always tell this to people, because I say I think you and Dad did the best job of raising us with that type of stuff, because we knew what was going on, but you always told us that it was something else. Like, when you'd pick us up home from – when we'd walk home from school, I'd be like, there's people taking – and you're like, they're taking photos of the birds. And I'm like,
yeah, I use the old bird watcher.
Mom, they're
bird
really
watchers.
Not, they're not taking photos of the birds. I promise you they're taking photos of us. And you were like, they're just taking photos of the birds. Like, it's not a big deal. I think if you had made it a big deal and would have reacted to it, obviously we would have reacted to it as well. But because you literally did not care and still don't, we do not care, and we didn't care, and we still don't care. Which is why when, like, if someone comes up to you at like, if we're having dinner and a fan comes up to you and asks for a picture, it doesn't even register. It's just time passes, and we continue. Like, let's just say I'm talking to you and a fan comes up and asks for a picture. I'll wait for 5 seconds and continue my story. It's not a big deal.
We'll even offer to take the picture for them sometimes.
Exactly.
Yes, you guys are very thoughtful like that.
Yeah. It's easy to be nice. It's like the easiest thing in the world.
And you were always nice to them, which I tell everyone as well. You always take a picture and make conversation with every single person that approaches you.
Well, because the people that, you know, have watched the show or supported the show or supported anything, even this number one podcast and the News and Noteworthy list at Apple Podcasts. Anyway, but those are the people that, like, are the reason that we live in a nice house and have been able, you guys went to great schools and you don't have any student loan debt. And so it's like, you know, we owe each and every person a debt of gratitude.
Yeah.
That's how I always thought
Thanks,
of it.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're, yes, thank you.
Thank you,
watchers
listeners.
And listeners. Yeah.
Oh, and do you remember the first, do you remember the first time that you were like, oh, okay, I think I've made it, or someone came up to you and asked you for a picture, your first fan interaction?
Believe it or not, I think my first fan interaction, this is going to sound so name droppy, was with Jimmy Kimmel's family.
Really?
Yeah, his cousins, they were all big All My Children watchers, and they would come to the studio every day with autograph books and like stuff to sign. And, you know, I was on the show for like 3 weeks before anybody ever asked me for my autograph. So I would come and go with real ease. And soaps used to be a really big deal.
Yeah, there would be tons
And there would be tons of people outside waiting for autographs to sign. And there would be photographers outside to take pictures, and you would sign autographs. And it was like the movie, like Soap Dish or Tootsie. Like there's always somebody running up with an autograph book. But, you know, you would tape the show 3 weeks in advance. So I was working there for about a month before I aired. And so I had the freedom of, like, watching other people sign autographs. It affected me because I saw, like, some people, like Susan Lucci, was super gracious with her fans, like, super gracious. Mm-hmm. And then I saw some of them that were, like, really mean. And that I was like, okay, I don't want to be that person.
Right.
I want to be a person that these people have been waiting here probably all day, and you're just going to blow them off or,
yeah,
you
they
know,
want it just to
breeze by them. So when I finally got asked for my autograph, which don't forget, I wore for my first year on the show, I wore a black wig. So I looked very different when I left work every day. I wore like this white pancake makeup, very severe makeup, and then this black wig, very goth looking chick. And then I would take off my wig and wash my face and leave. And even after I started airing, most people did not realize that it was me. So I sort of...
You're like Hannah Montana.
Yeah, I just sort of like moved in and out. Like I was like, I just sort of breezed around. But I do think for some reason, I think it was like Jimmy Kimmel's like either cousin or maybe it was his aunt that got like the first time I signed an autograph, I think.
And what was your parents' reaction? Like what were grandma and pop-pop's reaction to this career?
My pop-pop, grandma's dad, always wanted me to be an actor. He thought I had a big personality. He thought I was really funny. We would watch the Carol Burnett show or the Sonny and Cher show, and then I would act out bits from it. And he would be like, you should take her to New York. I'll pay for her acting lessons if you take her to New York. You know, and he died when I was quite young, so he never got to see any of it, which makes me sad.
That is sad.
But he... took us to see the Radio City Music Spectacular when I was 6 years old. It was 1976, and Radio City had filed for bankruptcy. And the Christmas Spectacular was a woman would play an organ, or maybe it was a man, I don't recall. The organ would play. The Rockettes would come out and do a kick line to like a Christmas song. Then they would back up, the curtain would open, and they showed a movie, and it was Pete's Dragon. I remember
wow.
that. It was Pete's Dragon. And we did like all of the touristy things. We went to Rockefeller Center. We went to Radio City. We had lunch at the Sea Grill. We went to the Empire State Building. We went to the World Trade Center. We just literally, we were like tick, 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 tick. And my parents and my cousins and my sister and my aunt and uncle were like, New York is so disgusting. Isn't this gross? Isn't this gross? And I was like, this is the greatest city on earth. And I became obsessed
with so cute.
All I wanted to do was like all I could think about was getting back to New York. I didn't know how, I didn't know where, I didn't know when, but I was like, I'm going to live there. I'll be there someday.
That's really great.
Yeah.
Were there any auditions that you didn't get when you started your acting career?
Yeah, like all of them. I got All My Children. That was the one I got. And then it was a series of no's. Like, it was a parade of no's. I got really close to a few films. Like, I screen tested for a couple of them, but I always lost. I lost to Parker Posey all the time. Parker Posey and I were, like, the two, like, weird girls. Like, we would audition for the weird girl roles. And she always got the role. And I would walk in, and if I would see her, I'd be like, shit. Parker Posey's here again, and now she's gonna get it, and I'm just gonna walk away. And I auditioned for every Spike Lee film. Nobody said no to me more than Spike. It's really true. Like, Spike was like, he would just like peek his head up and be like, no. And then that was it. He's still like, we'll talk about it now. He's like, remember when I didn't cast you in anything? I'm like, yes, I do. And there was a few times I booked jobs and I was so excited about it. And then I wound up not being able to do it because all my children wouldn't let me out of my shooting schedule at all my children to go shoot. So that was annoying. But, you know, it's like it is what it is. You got to honor your contracts. You know, you can't just like leave every time you want to do something that you perceive to be better. You know, you got to honor what you do.
Do you foresee any more acting in your future?
Maybe. For years I said no. I had resigned myself to being retired from acting, but I
think you should do it.
You do?
100%. Absolutely.
It would have to be the right thing, you know. It would have to be the right thing.
What's one personality trait you think we all share, and how are we the most different?
You are all uniquely kind. You're very kind people. And I remember, Lola, when there was a woman on the street that approached me, and you were so young. You were like 10 or 11 years old, and she had just gone through breast cancer surgery. I don't know if you remember this.
I think I do.
And she was like, I call it the talk show effect. Sometimes people will like confess things to you that don't know you. Like, they just want to tell you things because they are used to people telling you things. Mm-hmm. And so she was telling me this, and she was telling you as well. And you were so kind, and you were so engaged, and I was so impressed with the way you were not afraid. I thought you might be afraid because...
Well, did she show us a photo?
No, she was showing you her scars. She was showing you her scars. And you did not wince. You didn't react grossed out. You didn't react. You were an empath, and I was so proud of you. And your brother is the same way. He is so sweet to people, particularly the elderly. Mm. If you watch Joaquin with older people, No-No and Pop-Pop, he's always carrying their bag or helping them off out of the chair or up the stairs, or he's very, like, courteous. And that is the one commonality I think you share the most. In the ways you're so different, I often say, like, it's almost like you have three different sets of parents, because Michael is very, like, introverted and thoughtful and, like, creative and, like, very much in his head. And you, Lola, are a good time Charlie. Like, I always say that personality-wise, you are the most like your father. You are the most like your father. You and your dad can go into any party at any time and feel 100% comfortable and take over. Next thing you know, you have 800 phone numbers, 6,000 new best friends, and you're jetting off to Ibiza for the weekend because you met someone and now you're invited to their wedding. Like, that's just who you are. And Joaquin is very, very determined. He is the most determined person I've ever met. Like, if he sets out to do something, he will wake up, you know, like, he doesn't care what it takes to do it. He will get it done.
Yes. He doesn't complain.
He never complains. He never explains. He just does it.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I don't have that. I complain. I'll do it, but I complain. Jan, how much do I complain? It's like, I'll complain.
I'm actually curious about this one.
Okay.
What is the kindest thing someone has ever done for you that you've never forgotten?
Oh my gosh, there's a lot.
Pick one.
Oh my gosh. I remember that there was this woman in Fairway and I had you guys, you and your brother Joaquin, in a double stroller, and Michael, you were in the skateboard attachment on the back.
So cool.
And for some reason, I wheeled that thing into Fairway, and it was just like it had been one of those like days, weeks, months, and I was exhausted, and I was sleep deprived, and Dad was away shooting something, and I was like pretty much on my own. I had a babysitter, but like as soon as I was done with work, she would like take off.
Yeah.
Like I would barely get through the door and she was gone, and I'd be like, okay, and so it was just like a lot, you know, it was a lot because I had like, you know, two babies and a toddler, really. And I remember this woman came up to me and I thought she was going to yell at me because I had this big stroller in Fairway where there's no room to like even move. And she said to me, she goes, just remember, sweetie, that the days are long, but the years are short. Aww. And I almost cried. And then she looked at you, Michael, and she was like, I bet you're a good big brother. And you were like very like, you got all proud of yourself. You got very puffed up. You know, you were like, and I remember like I got very teary. Aww. But over the years, the audience members, like in my in-house audience, like the people that come in and watch the show, they are incredibly kind. They've always brought gifts for you guys and like gifts for me, or if you're celebrating something, they're celebrating something. And they're very, very thoughtful. Just for years and years. It's like too many – there's been too many kind gestures to like zero in on like just one.
Mm.
I've been surrounded by kindness, so I've been very lucky.
Got it. Okay, rapid fire time. First R-rated movie you ever saw?
My parents took us to see like Jaws 2 at the drive-through movie theater, and I think my sister and I turned around and we couldn't hear it, but we watched like Friday the 13th.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we just wanted to see naked boobs.
Sure.
We didn't even care about the violence. The violence scared us, but we were like really curious what naked ladies look like who like weren't our mom.
First celebrity crush.
First celebrity crush, Farrah Fawcett.
A woman?
100%. Everybody had a crush on Farrah Fawcett.
Huh. First kiss was?
First kiss. Well, it was Spin the Bottle, so that was, I think, also a woman. Let me think.
Is there anything you want to tell us?
No, it was like Spin the Bottle with all girls and like one guy.
Was it Scotty?
It was Scotty. Right. Scotty Silver. Yeah, of course. Of course it was. What do you mean?
First time you were fired from a job.
Oh, first time I was fired from a job. It's interesting. It wasn't really a firing, but this is gonna sound wacky.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I was fired from a job was when Hope and Faith was canceled. Oh, I was never fired from a job in my life. I mean, that was as close as I got to being fired.
I don't think that's a firing. I think that's like
that's just.
I mean, if the planet blows up, are we murdered? Like, it's just kind of, you know.
Mm. Wow, that's a sort of weird twist.
And after that,
oh, you guys want to hear the best firing story ever? Look, I know that you know how busy we all get. Ollie can help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 years and up. And the new Ollie Brainy Chews support healthy brain function with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Ollie!
Albert, I know you're too busy to be frizzy, so grab Way's new anti-frizz cream. It's a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I'm loving it because it helps reduce and repair split ends while quenching my bone dry hair with intense hydration. And during the summer, that's something we could all use. You'll also be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers like I am. My new favorite is their scalp and body scrub. It's a blend of sugar and coconut oil that cleanses, exfoliates, and moisturizes all at once on your scalp and your skin. I'm also really into their Wave Spray for the summer. It's a weightless, salt-free mist that gives you that just out of the ocean and my hair dried perfectly look. You know, like that look that is so unattainable. It doesn't make my hair crunchy at all, and it's super easy to use. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code OFFCAMERA for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code OFFCAMERA. Oh, you guys want to hear the best firing story ever? Oh my gosh, guys.
You've been fired more than once?
Yeah, gather around. This one is for the record books. I shot this animated movie for Disney called Meet the Robinsons.
Okay.
Robinsons?
Yeah.
So I spent like 3 years shooting this voice for this animated film, and I had like 2 more recording sessions, and we were like trying to work out like vacation schedule and the shooting schedule with live. Like we're just trying to work it all out. And my agent said, I'm going to call Disney and Pixar, whoever was the production company. And they said, going to find out when you have to record those last two recording sessions. And he called and they were like, oh, didn't we tell you? we found that Kelly's voice and the kid that plays the son's voice, it just didn't fit. So we got somebody else. They recast me.
Oh, interesting.
But nobody bothered to tell me that they recast me. Like nobody bothered to tell me this.
That's
and
so
I was
interesting.
Like, that is so crazy.
That's crazy.
So cut two. Okay. It is about a year and a half after that.
Sure.
Okay. And I get a phone call from Stan Rosenfield, my then publicist, and he goes, you're not going to believe this. And I go, what? He goes, Disney PR just called, and they are wanting to know your availability for the press schedule for Meet the Robinsons. And he goes, I had to inform them that you are, in fact, not in that movie.
That's wacky.
So they never bothered to tell each other that
That's crazy.
Not only did they not tell me, they didn't tell
each other.
And then Mark, he was like, you're not going to believe this. I just saw this like press thing in the paper for Meet the Robinsons, and it says starring Kelly Ripa.
That's so
is that
weird.
Crazy?
That's really funny.
Oh, wow.
Wait,
is
I need
that
to see what it looks
crazy?
Like.
You were, wow.
So that was like my 2 jobs I was fired from, but like
that's really
that's so funny.
Funny.
Isn't that funny?
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's great.
It's crazy. That was a crazy. So I was fired, but again, I didn't even know I was fired.
That's iconic.
Who's your favorite kid?
Who's my favorite kid? I love you all the same. I just have times where each one of you are my least favorite.
Yes. I know who your least favorite is currently.
Who?
The one that's not here.
Well, it's easy to say that because he's not here.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly gets down.
Yeah, would you like me to interview you?
Ask us some questions, Ma.
This is like not since Frost interviewed Nixon. Mm-hmm. Has anything been quite like this in mm-hmm. the world of media? Okay. So like growing up, were you aware that your parents worked in the entertainment industry?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I didn't know what it entailed, but I knew you were.
Did you assume all parents worked in the entertainment industry?
You know, I remember going with you to all my children. I remember sitting with you in the makeup chair. I remember Hope and Faith quite well. I remember there was one time when I think Dad was rescuing you from a fire in a scene, and I thought Dad was throwing you in the fire.
Uh-huh.
So I went to school sobbing that my dad was murdering my mom by throwing you in the fire. And they were like, that's not what's
happening.
Yeah,
I got a phone call that day.
Yeah, sorry.
Michael's quite taken aback.
Yeah.
Said that you were in a fire.
I didn't really know there was a difference until someone told me that you guys were famous. And
I remember that you came home and you're like, are you famous? And I go, anytime you have to ask someone if they're famous, they're not.
Right.
Okay. Do you remember that?
I do. Yeah.
That's how we dealt with that.
Yeah. How about you, Loli?
I think it was the same thing. And like I said before, I just, it was never, because you already had your career before I was born, it wasn't something that was, it was just what it was. It was part of growing up. There were definitely moments like where I would, for example, sometimes you'd let me come to school late because Soulja Boy was like on the show. And yeah. I would come to school and I would have signed Soulja Boy
merch
shades. But also Jamie Gelman was my best friend growing up when we were younger. So I probably did assume that
it was like a bubble.
Everyone's parents did that thing.
Yeah.
I think probably when I got older and I went to other people's houses at Ethical is when I realized, okay, maybe this, you like people, my mom's a doctor, my dad is a lawyer. I'm like, what is a doctor? What is a lawyer?
Your mom plays a doctor, your mom plays a lawyer. Yeah, I think I remember you asking one, maybe it was Maddie Kozauer's mom, you asked her like, what show are you on? Like, what show are you on? And she was like, I'm not on a show, I'm a doctor. And Lola was like,
yeah.
You're on ER? Like, let me ask you another question. So you both went into the entertainment industry.
Sure.
You're a singer-songwriter.
Yes, continue.
You're in producing. You're in television production. My point is, did we make it look... I don't remember making it look particularly fun. So I'm fascinated that you guys had this calling to go into, you know, your own individual versions of show business, but show
right.
business nonetheless.
That's yeah, I mean, I think growing up with it sort of gave it an appeal.
Really?
I think to a degree. I mean, seeing the lights and the cameras mm-hmm. and all that and all the work, all the hard work that goes into it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think I always felt more of a pull for behind the camera stuff mm-hmm. and writing. And, you know, Riverdale gave me a taste of the other side. But, like, I much prefer the behind the scenes stuff.
You're very good on camera.
Yeah. Anyway, Lily?
I don't think, first of all, I do think a lot of kids, or at least, I don't know, I feel like some of my friends now do what their parents do.
Uh-huh, right.
Finance, maybe interior fashion. Design, mm-hmm. fashion.
Mm-hmm.
But I think singing is completely different from what you and Dad do.
Definitely.
So for
it's
me,
even more brutal and cutthroat.
Yeah. I also think it's not as scary for us. Being an actor, being an actress, being on stage or performing is not so far-fetched because
we've seen you do it.
We've seen you do it. So it doesn't seem like it's not in a new world.
So it's that, more like if those two idiots can do it, clearly anybody can do it.
No, but it's just something that's, it's just something that's familiar to us. If someone mm-hmm. grows up, it's like the way that you saw it is not how we see it. You looked at actors and actresses and people that performed in Broadway and
yeah, but
whatnot.
Your dad and I both, like, we didn't think it was possible.
But
like,
that's
it
my,
seemed, like, ridiculous.
I know, but that's my point, is you probably were looking at that on TV saying, how the hell do I get there? And because we've seen you do it, our parents, the people that you gave birth to us,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that we grew up with, it's around us, so it's close to us, which doesn't make it any easier, but it's just not as scary as it probably is to other people. It doesn't uh-huh. seem as like far-fetched of a dream.
I think that's also sort of what inspired us to take separate paths. I mean, you had no other actors in the family. You did it because you had a passion for it. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, no, I did it because it was a
you
means
should.
To an end.
Sure.
And I stumbled into it. I was just like scared and desperate and I needed a job or my parents were going to make me go to college.
Yeah.
And so I really like, I needed to get something cooking. You
right.
know, I needed
yeah.
to get it cooking fast or they
it
were
It was a necessity.
It was a necessity, yeah.
Right. But we also, you know, because you did it on your own, I think it sort of inspired us to take different paths.
Yeah.
To do it on your own.
Because
and it's like, listen, use every connection you can possibly use because
yeah.
the entertainment industry is
hard.
Tough. It is hard. Use every connection. And I'm like, and guess what? As parents, I'm grateful to like give you any connection I have. For you guys, you know, like when I look at other show business families, I'm like, wow, they're really connected, like, you know, like generationally connected to show business. But you're like first generation children of actors. So like, you know, it's you are going to have to like figure out a lot of your stuff on your own.
I take pride in that. Yeah. I'm glad I didn't. I mean, that's why I'm really leaning into the production. I did that myself pretty
What's
much.
What's your plan? Did you always have a plan? Like your brother, like, I feel like you always have.
I've got a good 5-year plan.
You always have a plan B and a 5-year plan. Like mm-hmm. you always have like, well, if this doesn't work out, then I'll do writing. And if the writing doesn't work out, then I'll do this. And what is your plan B if the.
I think if singing doesn't work out, I will try acting.
Oh,
because I really do, but I do like acting. I actually think that would, I'm not going to say that I think I'm good at it, but I think I could be, is because when I read lines with Michael,
you're better than I am.
I feel like I am memorizing the lines. I am giving him, well, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't be giving you advice, but
no,
I
you should.
I can get into the character. I think I'm able to adapt into the character very mm-hmm. easily.
You know what I've realized?
And that I think is. That is important.
What I've realized is that we kind of like started off on the wrong foot. Like I'm much more comfortable in my producing and my writing. Mm-hmm. I think Lola should be an actress, and I think Joaquin should be a director.
Really?
I was helping Dad shoot like an Instagram story, and he was like, "You know, let me do it." And then he did it his way, and it actually looked really good. I'm like, "Oh, you're good with a camera, Keen." Like,
oh, look who's here! Your dad is here, just in time. Hi.
Are we on air?
We're on the air. Yes, we are on the air. Just a couple more questions before we go. Which one of your parents do you love more?
Cruel. Why is Michael actually thinking?
Well, no, I'm weighing my options.
I'm just saying, okay, let's put it, if Dad and I went overboard and you only have one life vest, who do you throw it to?
Well, hang on, that's a stupid question because if I throw you one of you the life vest, you can just cling on the other one and you'll both float.
No, but one of us can't cling. Our arms are broken.
Well, then he'll cling. No, hang on. Here's the easy answer. I throw it to Dad and Dad can hold on to you.
No, but Dad can't hold on to me. Both of our arms are gone.
Well, who do I have to live with the longest? Which one of you is going to die first, do you think?
Because then she can carry on the seed and may have more kids.
With who?
Another Mexican guy.
We covered her menopausalness in the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah, I know. We already, you missed the menopause gate, so I don't know what seed you think I'm carrying.
I plead the fifth. I'm not answering that one.
Well, that was it. I want to thank you guys for joining me today on the podcast.
Pleasure, Mom. Thank you for having us.
It was very interesting being interviewed, having the tables turn.
We need to work on our segues.
Yeah, no, I think honestly, no, we can assure you we'll do better next time.
Yeah.
Don't forget to check out Lola's song, Divine Timing, woo-hoo! On Spotify.
And you don't have to put this in the podcast, but I will definitely be promoting it myself as I want to change my audience demographic.
Okay,
thank
and
you very
so
much.
what is your...
My current audience demographic is 45 to 54, and if it's not from my parents, then that's very bizarre, but we can only assume that it is from
but
the lovely blonde lady.
Michael, look forward to Michael's production work on Real Housewives of New York on Bravo.
It's got an all-new cast. They're all really amazing. I had a lot of fun working on it. It was my first time as a full-time producer, associate producer.
Thank you. Rave reviews from people in the industry.
Mike. I really appreciate that. Rave. That's really awesome.
Thanks, everybody. Don't forget to tell your friends to listen to and follow the latest episode of Let's Talk Off Camera with Kelly Ripa, wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. We'll take 4, but we prefer 5. Seth gets upset. He throws things. Can't wait to talk off camera next week. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye. Let's Talk Off Camera with Kelly Ripa is a co-production of Malojo Productions and PRX Productions with help from Goat Rodeo. Our theme song is Follow Me from APM Music. From Malojo, our team is Kelly Ripa, Mark Consuelos, Albert Bianchini, Jan Chalet, Devin Schneider, Michael Halpern, Jacob Small, Roz Therian, Seth Gronquist, and Julia Desch. From PRX Productions, our team is Kara Schillen, Genevieve Sponsler, Megan Nadolski, Edwin Ochoa. Additional sound design by Terrence Bernardo. The executive producer of PRX Productions is Jocelyn Gonzalez. This show is powered by Stitcher. From PRX.